Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast with Dr. Stuart Scott and Pastor Adam Tyson. Dr. Scott serves as the Executive Director of 180 Ministries and Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University. Pastor Tyson serves as the Senior Pastor of Placer Rita Bible Church and Adjunct Professor at the Master's University as well. Visit 180ministries.org and masters.edu to learn more about their programs and services in biblical counseling. I'm your host, Mark Smith, and we're thankful to bring you this next episode on Care of Souls, in which Stuart and Adam discuss practical and profound principles from Scripture to help you faithfully follow Christ. Chapter 8 in The Excellent Wife addresses the home or the wife's domain, so to speak. Proverbs 31 and other passages, such as in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, make clear that Christian wives are responsible to keep a godly home as a complement to their Christian husbands who are called to lead a godly home. The biblical picture of a godly woman who works at home is like the queen of the castle, who is deserving of the praise that her family and others give to her as a result of the creativity, diligence, hospitality, and other Christ-like characteristics she exhibits as she glorifies God in this vital ministry. Anything short of the biblical standard for women ultimately conflicts with God's design, mandate, and plan, puts women and their families at risk, and robs them of the joy and blessings He promised to those who obey His word. Now here's Adam, Stuart, and Carolyn to discuss this issue and some common questions that come up as Christian women seek to honor God and care for their families in today's world.
We have been working through The Excellent Wife by Martha Peace. We're in chapter 8 today, talking about the home, the wife's domain. I got to tell you, Carolyn, when I got married, I remember telling my wife that the home would be her domain and that she could decorate every room. I just needed a study. We didn't have any kids at the time. We had like an extra bedroom. And I'm like, baby, I just need this one room. And so she agreed to that.
And it's pink.
She agreed to it for a while, and then before you know it, I noticed pictures up in there, plants everywhere, foo-foo stuff all in front of my commentaries, and I'm like, honey, what's going on? I just asked for one room, and she's like, well, honey, the home is my domain. So I gave up my one room. I don't have a man cave. I don't have a study. I don't have anything. Is that okay, Stuart?
I guess so. I'm in the same situation.
And you said your wife painted your office pink?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
That would be crossing the line there.
There you go. I actually kid with my wife. I told her also it's the home and my head, because she has different desires for the length of my hair, my hairstyle, my beard. So I'll say, hey, honey, you've got domain over our house and my head.
Well, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine, isn't it?
Hey, there you go. There you go. Well, hey, we're talking about a worker at home. That is such an important principle. We see it, of course, in Scripture, where it says in 1 Timothy 5, 14 and 15, therefore, I want the younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Well, that's one of several different verses that is kind of mentioned in the chapter here, but let's just kind of go big with that big idea. What is the home, and how do we consider that rightly to be the wife's domain?
Well, God has started out even in Genesis saying that we are to be our husband's helper, and part of that is helping him take care of the things that you own. And so the wife has that opportunity. And when children come along, you're usually in the home. I think back in earlier times, the whole family was at home all the time, and they worked from the home, and it was more of a together situation than it is today. Today we have usually the man goes to work and the wife maybe be at home or maybe is working as well. But the home is the place where you can nurture and train your children to grow up to know and love the Lord. And so it needs to be a place of comfort and also hospitality, a place where people can come and feel welcome and loved. So it's a wife's opportunity then to build a godly home where Christ is the center and where people are nurtured and loved.
I love it. That's a great description, Carolyn. I really appreciate that. You know, not only is there that passage in 1 Timothy 5, which maybe we can come back to, but there's the Proverbs 31, right? Proverbs 31 is full of verses that encourage exactly what you were saying for a wife to be a worker at home. What are some of those verses maybe out of Proverbs 31 that really encourage you in that?
Well, she clothes her household with scarlet and she makes coverings for herself. She looks well to the ways of her house. I think what I summarize that all with is that she is always doing what's best for her family. Even if she is making belts and selling them, it's because that brings in additional income for the family to use in whatever way is needed or wanted. While it's still night, she rises and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Sometimes it requires getting up early. Mm. Kids, you know, once the children are in school, they have to be there at a certain time. And so it requires getting up in time to have them out the door and ready at a certain time. And even husbands off to work at a certain time. And so it means that you're not laying in bed and waiting, you know, letting them take care of themselves. But this is part of your job.
Yeah, Carolyn, I've always read Proverbs 31 thinking, what a wonderful encouragement and a great example. But as I've preached on this text and talked to women like maybe on a Mother's Day or something, sometimes I'll get the response of like, that's impossible. I could never do that. Please don't point me to Proverbs 31 because I feel so, you know, guilty and incompetent to do it perfectly like she does. How would you respond to a woman who's kind of struggling with that?
Well, it does. It can sound intimidating because no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. But there's always it gives us kind of a measure to strive for. And I think we're not going to do it exactly like mm-hmm. the Proverbs 31 women did it. But if we're thinking of doing what's best for our family and always putting our family in a place of serving them and wanting to do what's best for them, I think that covers it. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage them. I mean, we're not going to probably be making all the cloth that our clothing is made out of, or we're not going to be maybe buying a lot and selling it. But you might be, some woman might be going to garage sales and buying books that she can then sell online and make more money with mm-hmm. them because she knows the value of them or something. I have a niece that does that. And mm-hmm. So there just are different mm-hmm. ways, but it's all about helping the family and sure. supporting your family and serving your family.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stuart.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, as I read Proverbs 31, it's a prescription for depression. if any woman thinks she can do all of that at any one time, it's a summation of this wise woman's life. It's not a description of every day of a woman's life. Mm. She's not doing all of this every day.
Yeah.
So I think if a Christian wife can look back and say, oh, this is kind of the patterns, this is describing maybe when the kids were early, you know, young, maybe when they were in their teens, because the context is that the husband and children rise up and call her blessed when they think of her life in total. Mm. So maybe that perspective would
very
help
helpful.
Women.
Yeah, instead of you have to do all this yeah. day, this yeah. week, or yeah. even this year, maybe over the course of your life, you've tied into some of those mm-hmm. principles. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing we're obviously not mentioning is you need grace.
Yeah,
it's the gospel that changes you and then empowers you to walk in obedience. And you want to do all of these things with the right heart as an act of worship unto the Lord, not just a list of things that you're kind of ticking off that you're actually accomplishing, you know, on your own.
Right.
Well, Carolyn, we also want to get into some of those New Testament passages. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. It says, older women are to teach what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. It's a lot of good stuff in there, but I want to focus just for a little bit, because the chapter does, on being a worker at home. Do you feel like being a worker at home means that a woman's place is in the home, that her primary role is to her husband and children? I'm kind of beating around the bush a little bit here, asking, is it okay for her to work outside the home?
Well, I don't think that there's any place that says you absolutely can't work outside of the home, but I do think that God intends for the wife's priority to be her children and her husband and her children and her home, so that those are a place where she can best glorify the Lord, and using the opportunity that she has there to help them grow to know and love Christ. So bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not a simple thing. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of dailies, and I talk to ladies a lot of times about the dailies, because so many things happen in your day, but how do we keep that perspective and priority in the right place?
So good. Stuart, speak to us. You know, we live in the 21st century. We live, those of us here live in Southern California. Most homes are probably two-income families just to kind of make it in expensive areas of the country. What do you say to these ladies who are asking, like, hey, I can't do this. I just can't stay at home. I feel like, you know, I would be just stifled, or I wouldn't be contributing or valued or important or all these things that a woman might be experiencing here. How would you encourage her according to Scripture?
Well, there's a lot of tangents we could go in, like you said, out here in Southern California, that is how expensive it is to live. And there's nothing virtuous about a husband working two or three jobs and never home, but she's home. So, you know, now you're neglecting the husband's role in helping and loving his wife and children as well. The context definitely talks about a married woman and brings in children. So that starts qualifying the focus for this wife. I think what Carolyn brought up is just that home-directed, home-attentive. If she works, sometimes they can work from home. Sometimes they can work part-time outside the home as long as the bases are covered. There's nothing evil about or sinful necessarily about it. As long as she's home attentive.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate the qualifications there. So just to clarify, if a woman is single, go to work, right? We're encouraging that for the adult woman. And if she's married and doesn't have kids, she's free to go to work, would you say?
Yeah. I had a, in class one time, there was one of the married women who was just newly married said, I want to be a worker at home. And they had debt. They had school debt, she and her husband. And I'm thinking, you know, you can only rearrange the furniture and dust.
Careful,
dust. So, you know, what are you going to do with all your day if you're expecting your husband to not only work, but also work extra to pay off school debt? Why don't you do that now until you have children or work to save up money to help with the family in the future? So that's where I would kind of go with. She would could help contribute either savings, but the income shouldn't rest on her shoulders. So now she can't even feel free to. They start having children. That's a burden too. Where some women are working so much that their husband wants them to work, and now there's this delay in having children. So the income shouldn't rest on her shoulders. It should be on his shoulders. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Carolyn, what do you think about that?
Well, I would agree. And there are a lot of times, even with in our present culture too, where women are wanting their children to go to Christian schools and needing extra income in order to do that, and their husbands are working hard already. And so if they have the opportunity to do some kind of work that would bring in income to help and be able to facilitate that, that's something that they need to pray together with their husbands and work out just how that's going to work out. And then you can also be an opportunity to train your children to be helpers at home and learn to be part of the cleaning the house and taking care of things so that sometimes having that extra pressure of mom's working helps the kids also step up and do their part. So it can be a tool that you can use to increase that work ethic in their home.
Yeah, I like that. Stuart, I've heard some people say that maybe while the marriage is young and there aren't kids, the woman could work. And then when the kids come, she should probably stay home, if at all possible, with those kids from birth, let's say, until maybe they're around school age. And then if the kids were to be in some school program, then maybe that would be a time where the wife could start working again. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that is very, not just doable, but it's okay if they're seeking to do what they're doing for the glory of God. And they're not neglecting mandated responsibilities.
Okay. All right. That gives it a little bit of room here and there, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What about the wife who says, you know what, I feel like God's called me to stay home to homeschool my children. Carolyn, could she consider being a worker at home, doing just that? Just say, hey, I have my kids all day. I can't really work outside because I'm homeschooling my kids. And then that's her way of kind of fulfilling this passage.
Well, it's definitely she would be contributing to the family and helping in that way that that does become a 24/7 job. And my hat is off to gals that want to do that. And and I know that many have chosen that path. I think that that is a way she can help her husband, especially if they choose that maybe over having being in Christian school or the education of the children is something that's primary that has to take place.
Sure. And that's kind of a Christian liberty that the family could choose if it's better for them to homeschool or put them in a different type of school setting that would kind of dictate by their schedules what they're available to do at home and not do. How much of this do you think when it says keep the house, Carolyn, I got to ask you, like be a good housekeeper, like keep it clean? Like part of that we joke, but then part of that is like, well, the house does need to be presentable? I mean, how do we find the balance in that?
And that is kind of an individual thing, too. I think it depends on what your husband wants, too. There's that element in it. But I think an orderly home represents Christ well, because God is a God of order. And so I think he wants us to demonstrate that. That's one way that we can image him. And it also helps the people in the home to function as they should. You know, an orderly home helps everybody to feel more responsible for their things and to take care of things.
So, Carolyn, have you ever been to visit a young mom or a wife and a mother of maybe older kids and you felt like her home wasn't kept in order? And you felt like, well, I think somebody should say something? Or is that like, oh, we don't want to step on anybody's toes?
Well, I think that there are ways to encourage someone that, you know, how are the kids helping? And how are they learning to do this? I remember when my oldest went off to college, my youngest went to kindergarten. And, oh, my goodness, I've got to train these younger girls because she could do most everything. And so it became just kind of a wake-up call because they were quite a bit younger than her. So, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I remember having a professor in seminary. His name was Alex Montoya. You'll remember him, Stuart. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time he was saying, I was counseling with this wife. She was a mom, and she came into his office and just kind of plopped down. She said, Pastor, I'm just so tired. I'm always so tired. I have the kids and I have to prep their food and clean up. And he looked at her and he said, well, how many kids do you have? And she says, I've got 6 children. And he looked at her and said, you're stupid. He's like, you're stupid. And, he wasn't being mean. He was trying to be a point in that culture. He was saying, then he went on to say, you should be training the kids. He's like, by now, you should be sitting on the couch. Your kids should be vacuuming the floor. They should bring you a pitcher of iced tea. You know, you should be like living on vacation because you haven't trained your kids. And that was his point. He was saying, you're stupid. I know that's a strong word, but he was trying to make the point, you haven't adequately train them to do their part so that it's not just the mom slaving over serving everybody to the nth degree all day, every day. She could be like, hey, let's do this together. Let me lead. Let me train. Let us work together in a home to do it. And that's kind of what you're saying, right? You needed to be reminded of, I need to retrain each child to kind of do their part.
So they have to learn to, all of them have to learn to cook and clean because someday they're going to be doing it themselves. So even the boys can learn to do things that are helpful around the house. And some of them even like to learn to cook. So,
you know, it's just something that I think is a little bit of it's a Christian liberty, but I think people get judgy on this one, Stuart. Why is it that so many people start to look down their noses at one another if they feel like mom isn't being that Proverbs 31 woman?
When you say who's looking down their nose, like husbands or other women?
Well, like we're talking about different houses have different standards. We could go anywhere from how clean is it? Has it been dusted? Have the bathrooms been clean? Are the clothes on the floor? Then we could get into the whole idea of food preparation. Do they eat out all the time? Is the mom making a home-cooked meal? And I feel like a lot of pressure, it rests in a lot of moms' hearts about, are they really doing it right?
Yeah, I know a lot of desires that someone has can be raised up to the level of a command, and the Bible doesn't have that command. That's just a danger of how we may have been raised, how we start putting a standard, not God's standard, but maybe our own and we start looking through that lens at different people, how they're living, the choices they make. And we have to be really careful there because it is a form of liberty, unless there's neglect where they're not fulfilling mandated responsibilities. So that's always a danger. I think Carolyn brought up, it's really in the home where the husband and wife really need to talk. Mm-hmm. What are your expectations? I mean, are you expecting to come home and there's no toy in the living room when there's six children? And it's unrealistic. And some men, husbands, really need help here on being unrealistic of saying, well, what are you doing all day? There's a whole lot I'm doing all day. I mean, those are like fighting words, for a wife to say, I'm homeschooling, I've got caring for all of these things and one sick. And I think there has to be a humble learning, listening attitude, especially for husbands, to say, do I have unrealistic expectations?
Yeah, Stuart, do you think it's unrealistic for a husband to assume the wife is going to prepare three meals a day and do the laundry and clean and dust and vacuum while he does nothing? Or in today's world, is it like, hey, listen, buddy, you better, pull your own weight, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say a man shouldn't do any domestic duties.
That's right. Yeah. And if he wants to live with her in an understanding way, it's lower the expectations on things that are peripheral. We used to always talk, my wife and I, about, and my wife really helped me see this, relationships are more important than non-relationship stuff. And sometimes, as in the family, for mothers who are taking the time to talk through an issue with one of the children, it takes time mm-hmm. to work through a fight between two children and work that out. And maybe she didn't get to something that wasn't accomplished. Maybe it wasn't the meal he was expecting. It's okay to say relationships. I'd rather you put the time in the relationships than in the non-relationship stuff. It's really helped. It helped us. It helped me especially. Not neglecting everything, but that's the priority, is building relationships. Mm.
Those relational emphases that you're talking about, Stuart, that really has a little bit more of a spiritual component to it than maybe just exactly how clean is your house. But you're talking about shepherding a child's heart. Mm-hmm. And that's a clear command from Ephesians 6, that we want to nurture them, teach them, discipline them. And so I would agree as a dad that I would rather come home to a messy house, but my kids have been shepherded and discipled by a godly wife than to come home to a pristine house and my kids are like throwing stuff at each other and angry at each other and spoiled brats, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it fits into the loving God and loving your neighbor. It's relational, how to be a neighbor, how to really work it, all of the one another's and with your children. Again, not neglecting all of the other areas and responsibilities, an orderly home, but the snapshots. There'll be snapshots where, it's not as clean. Maybe haven't even thought about the evening meal because other things were going on that day and much more important on the relationship end.
So, Carolyn, this kind of ties into when should the mom make that home-cooked meal and when should she just put frozen pizza in the oven?
Well, when you have one of those days, and a lot of times when the kids are sick or one child sometimes just takes a lot of your time when you need to really talk with them and work with them. And train them. Training children takes a lot of time. It means that you're going to do it alongside them and help them to see how to do it right, and then also be evaluating how they're doing it and helping them to learn how to do it better. So,
yeah, Martha left a whole chart here about being a worker at home, and she talks about being a lazy person because the Proverbs talk a lot about that, being a sluggard and sleeping while the harvest is ready, and a slothful man does not even roast his prey. That means he doesn't even cook his food. And he's still hungry, whereas the self-disciplined person on the other side is more like the ant, right? We're learning how to work hard, be organized, work at times of harvest so that you have when there's not, in times of plenty so that you have when there's not as much. So it's a balance. It's okay for a wife not to have everything perfect all the time because she's focusing on relationships, and yet we want to make sure she's still disciplined, right? We want to make sure that her character is one who does work hard and she's not literally on the couch all day watching soap operas or something like that.
Exactly, because there's a vast difference. There's two ditches that the wife can fall into that are probably would be called sinful, and that would be to be a lazy person who's not doing her work and is just laying around, like you say. They used to talk about eating bonbons and watching soap operas.
Right.
And then the other side where somebody is just overly caring for their home, where everything has to be perfect and in place all the time. And so she's harsh and angry with people that are not keeping it in order, you know, and so that there's not any room to wiggle. So there's just those two, those are kind of the two ditches, and then finding that place in the middle of a balanced where you're disciplining your time, using your time wisely, also using and still having your home orderly and in place and a place for everything, you know, so that people then learn where those places are and can help you put them back in those places. So,
well, I'm so glad we've talked about this today. I feel a little bit better about what it means for a woman to be a keeper at home. There's a biblical balance. There's her and her husband talking, pursuing these principles together, and then just doing what they do in a way that they're not trying to please others or keep a standard that another person has put on them, but together before the Lord, praying, seeking His help, and then just living out through this. And that just requires a lot of conversation and a lot of adapting over the years as the kids grow, as the life changes, so that wives can continue to be beautiful keepers of their homes.
Martha ends this chapter with the following encouragement to wives. A wife who has a gentle and meek spirit provides a calming, soothing, and reassuring atmosphere in her home. She trusts in God deeply and doesn't panic at difficult circumstances. She has a quiet confidence that God will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called by Him. Her confidence and faith in God grow daily as she studies the Scriptures. There is no doubt that the God who said, "Love is patient, love is kind," wants you wives, if you have not created a godly atmosphere in your home, to become a wife with a meek and quiet spirit. You can begin today to pray for repentance, to search the Scriptures and implement what you learn, and to joyfully delight in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, is doing now, and will do for you and your family in the future. He has called you, dear wife and mother, to be a worker at home. What are you going to make of your home for God's glory? We hope you were blessed by the Care of Souls podcast. Please pray for us at 180 Ministries and the Masters University as we seek to edify the church and exalt Christ through biblical counseling that is faithful to Scripture. Consider supporting 180 Ministries financially so we can continue to bring you sound wisdom from God's Word on these everyday topics. Visit 180ministries.org to give online and send an email to info@180ministries.org with your feedback and any questions. We'd be grateful to hear how this podcast is helping you. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Care of Souls podcast as we discuss exemplary husbands and excellent wives.